Welcome to I Totally Paused, the podcast that usually breaks down the most iconic moments of the 90s and early 2000s. But this time, we will be breaking down the most iconic moments of the 12th season of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I know, it's a major plot twist. You're probably thinking, Jess, Siobhan, what are you thinking? But what makes this a little different from most Bravo podcasts is that one of our hosts is joining the Bravo world for the very first time. Jessica has never watched a moment of The Real Housewives. She doesn't know of any of the drama and the gossip from the past seasons. She is diving into the deep end, and I could not be more proud. I thought it would be fun to get someone's opinion who is just meeting these ladies for the first time today. Today is the first time she ever watched an episode, and we watched the premiere episode, and she has no prior judgments into who they are and what the fans think. I didn't give Jessica any background except the most basic facts of Tom Girardi's situation, so she wouldn't be too confused because she had to know at least exactly what the background was of that. But I didn't even give her like too much detail into it because I wanted her to kind of ingest it as, I guess, it comes about. For those of you who don't know, and including Jessica, the idea of the Real Housewives series is the conflicts and shifting dynamics of a friend group. And it has a luxurious background. So while the ladies are flying high with their delusions, the editor's job is to knock them down a peg and show how their lives are ridiculous. So there's definitely a lot of tongue-in-cheekness to it. So as much as serious this ladies take themselves, the editors do their best to try to like find lightness and comedy into it. Like a lot of times you'll see a lady like telling a really like sad story, but they'll have like, as they call it, clown music, like do 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 do, because she's like talking about something that's just so unrelatable, kind of like what we see Sutton do later on in this episode.
I tell you, can I jump
in? Yeah, no, please jump in. This is pretty much, I'm ready.
Looking at my notes, I was just laughing to myself before we came on because my notes about Sutton start with like, ooh, I don't think I like her. And by the end, it's like, fuck Sutton. She is dead to me.
I took quite a journey with Sutton in this episode.
I know. I'm very interested because you did text me a little bit and I had to like hold back and not like say too many things. So, okay. Are you ready, Jessica? Are you ready?
I am so ready.
Now, was there any questions you have? I mean, you can ask them as we go on, but there was anything you wanted to know before we started recapping?
Yeah, I have a question. The guy who you were telling me is in jail, is that Erica's husband?
Correct. He is not in jail. He is in... Tom Girardi is a very prominent attorney. You may have seen him be played in a movie. Remember Aaron Brockovich?
I've never seen Aaron Brockovich.
Really? Oh, okay. Well, he's like the lawyer in Aaron Brockovich that Aaron Brockovich works with.
Oh, okay.
Because that movie was all about a huge class action lawsuit.
Right. I'm familiar. I've just
Yeah. So that was his bread and butter. He did these big class action lawsuits. The way that Tom made his money is that they would take their cases on contingency. So they'd be working for free and they would get money from the settlement. He became known throughout, not just like California, but like throughout the country, that as this like amazing attorney that really stood up for the little guy, like for all these victims and people that like really couldn't do it themselves. And that was part of it. Like he would do it for like no money. And he would get these huge multi-million dollar lawsuits. He was actually one of the first lawyers in California to get a $1 million settlement for his client for a malpractice suit.
Oh, wow.
And that was like in the 1970s.
All right, Tom.
Yeah. Tom's like in his early 80s now.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Him and Erica are about 33 years apart. He met her when she was 28. She's 51 now.
Wow.
So they were together a long time.
Okay. I was curious because she says something a little bit later in the episode about how complicated it is to divorce someone who's like, I think she says incapacitated. And I was like, what's wrong with him? Like, I was picturing him like in a nursing home.
Well, he kind of is. He's like in an upscale nursing home. So there's three ways that this can go of the Erica, because what happened was Erica, I believe I told you, she divorced Tom. And then like a month later, all this came out. So when Erica last season, this all happened, she first said, well, you know, we grew apart. Like he just wasn't as nice, like, you know, he wasn't the guy you guys thought he was, like, you know, things were more difficult than we let on, because Erica really didn't show a lot of her marriage. You'd only see Tom like once or twice a season, but it was like, Tom Girardi, Mr. Girardi, he's busy. Like, he's got stuff to do. So like nobody would even care. Cause it's like, well, yeah, he's like a real lawyer doing real things. So she left him. And the thing was, like, she left him in like the middle of the day. She said she drove him to work, like said goodbye. She said, I love you to him. Apparently he did not say, I love you back. And she drove back.
That was it. She was done.
Well, no, she had already knew what she was going to do, but I guess, you know, it's like saying, trying to say goodbye. But then she drove back, packed up all of her stuff and like left in the middle of the day.
Wow.
Yeah. With like no warning. And then like, I guess filed for a divorce. So then afterwards, this lawsuit came out. And so they're saying, oh, okay. So you knew what was going on. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like, what did Erica know? Because she then says, well, part of the issue is that he was developing dementia. And that also made it very hard for me to stay because he would not get any medical help for it. And all the people around him were pretty much like yes men. She said she wanted to take him to a doctor, but a lot of doctors were afraid to see him knowing he didn't want to be seen for this because they didn't want to get sued by Tom Girardi.
When someone has dementia, you kind of have to take the reins.
Well, that's the whole thing.
And I know of what I speak, as you know.
Exactly.
For anyone who's listening who doesn't know this, my mother is about to go into residential memory care. She has Alzheimer's disease. So I am not just speaking out of pocket here.
I know, exactly. That's why I'm very curious to hear like your opinion on all this. So it either goes a couple ways that
I'm just imagining my dad being like, well, she doesn't want to. So
yeah. And it's also, it's either a situation where your dad just went, yeah, like your mom's not that pleasant to be around. So I'm just going to bounce.
Yeah, okay. No kidding.
You know what I mean? Like that, you guys got
wow.
this.
Oh,
so it's either, but
bummer. I was really enjoying Erica.
Well, no, it's
a damper on it.
It's hard to say because it's like, or it could be that it was like a hard marriage and she was trying to get him help. Nobody would listen. He wouldn't get help himself. Like she saw this decline. She saw these lawsuits coming in. She saw, because that would make sense too. If he is not handling money correctly, if he's having problems with his brain, like that would make sense that why he would make crazy business decisions suddenly at the end of his life. Like, I don't know really how long this has been going on, but I feel like the way places make it seem like it's maybe like the last 10 years. So like his 70s onward, you know, like, and obviously he's not the only one at the law firm. There's other people there, you know, but the law firm's called Girardi Keese. Her story kind of kept changing. That's why it's so hard to explain because she kept changing her story through this. So okay. I think it's kind of a combination. That's what I think kind of happened was that Tom just started making all these bad decisions. She didn't know at first. And then eventually she sees these lawsuits coming in because she's getting named in the lawsuits. And she's like, hey, babe, what's this? And he's like, don't worry about it. And your husband's a lawyer, like a famous lawyer. So you're like, okay, he's got it. That's the whole thing. It's like, you don't know. And so it's either you're kind of coming off as callous and leaving someone while they're in need and like while this ship is sinking and saving yourself. Or it's like, I truly did everything I could do. You really want me to stay with the ship when I can get on a lifeboat? Like, So he is in, yes, a very nice deluxe facility. As Erica says, this is not necessarily a thing of guilty or innocent. It's like a civil case. So it's all about money.
Yes.
The final thing about the Erica Jane and why it's a bone of contingency and stuff between Sutton and Erica is that while they're on a vacation, an article came out detailing everything that happened with Tom, and they had no idea, the whole cast. And Erica like left in the middle of the night before like the morning of the article. Like all of a sudden they're like, where's Erica? It's like, oh, Erica had to leave. She had to go somewhere. And they read it. It was all this stuff and they were shocked. And they were just like, what did Erica know? You know, her whole shtick was that she has this amazing lifestyle, 2 private planes. Her husband funds her life. Cause like she didn't make money off of being Erica Jane.
Why does one person need 2 private planes?
One was international, one was domestic.
That doesn't answer my question. Can her international plane not do domestic flights?
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Like, that just feels excessive to me.
Yeah.
That feels like showing off.
Yeah. So I guess let's get into it, because I guess Erica does then talk about the per part in it. So let's, we'll go and we'll discuss it when she's talking to Garcelle. The first episode is titled The Break-In.
Holy shit. I've been thinking about this all day.
I know.
I watched this episode with my coffee first thing in the morning, and this just about ruined my day.
I'm sorry about that. It's usually a much more
lighthearted. Fault. You didn't do it, but it was very upsetting.
So it opens up to this black and white security footage, and it's men breaking into Dorit's house. You see them smash the glass door to go into her back house, or to the back of her house.
Absolute nightmare.
Dorit's voiceover, and she says, "I thought this is how I'm going to die." And like, her voice is breaking. It's very dramatic. But then it cuts to 3 days earlier, which the Real Housewives love that. They love a dramatic moment and then a cut to previously, like 1 week prior. And it opens with at Kyle's house, and you hear, "You're sitting on Paris's invitation."
I saw.
I know. Kyle loves a famous relative name check.
Go ahead and pick that name up, Kyle.
Now, do you know how Kyle's related to Paris?
Well, I noticed Kathy, but what's...
Kyle is Kathy's youngest sister.
Kyle... Oh, so Paris is her niece.
Yes.
Okay.
The sisters are Kathy Hilton, Kim Richards, who was once on the show, and a one-time child star. She was in Escape from Witch Mountain.
Okay.
And yeah, a lot of Disney stuff, like some TV shows in the 70s. And then Kyle Richards was also a child star. Well... child actor. She never really became the star that her sister was, which became a bone of contention. It still goes to this day. But Kyle, her claim to fame was she was the little girl Jamie Lee Curtis was babysitting in the Halloween movie.
Oh,
yeah.
In fact,
which she recently reprised her role in the latest Halloween movie as an adult.
Wait, hold on. Are the Hiltons Jewish?
Kyle converted to Judaism for her husband Mauricio.
Because they later talked about her her daughter's bat mitzvah. And because I had mentioned previously in my notes, Kyle's house was my favorite. It was gorgeous.
She does have a beautiful house.
And then she mentioned Portia's bat mitzvah. And I was like, of course, they're Jewish members of the tribe.
Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. So, Kyle converted for, believe
me. I was going to say, I feel like I would have, because you know how I love a Jewish celebrity. I feel like I would have known by now if the Hiltons were Jewish.
Yes. And Dorit was also raised Jewish.
Oh, was she?
Yes.
Okay.
So some representation for you in the show.
Love to see it. I liked when they were all gathering, and I don't know, I didn't know who they were at this point, so I didn't write who said it, but one of them was like complimenting the other one on like a new bag, and they were like, "Ooh, a present from self to self." And
yes, like, Erica said that to Lisa. I wrote that down too. I like that.
And then I laughed because I recently had a present from self to self that was a bag. It wasn't, what kind of bag did they have? Something super fancy. I just bought a bog bag. Have you seen those?
No, what's a bog bag?
I'm obsessed with it. It's everyone who looks at it says it looks like an UGG, and it kind of does, but like tote, like if you would use it
okay.
as like a bag or like a whatever, but it's a tote, but it's like, it is kind of like the material of, did I say UGG? I meant croc. It's kind of the material of like a croc, and it has the little holes. So they make like the little charms. You can get those in the bag too, but it's like really structured. It's really like sturdy. So like it stands up straight. It won't tip over. You can like put stuff in it and it'll like stay the way you put it. You're not like searching through for like, you know, whatever. It's like a perfect, like it's a perfect beach bag. It's a perfect, like if I'm going to be out with the kids all day and I need to pack a bunch of stuff, bag. I got them for, so what Addie's friend's mom works in like a boutique in Pittman that carries them. And we got them for the cheer coaches for their end of the year gift. So she told me about it. And then I got one for my mother-in-law and one for mom for Mother's Day and filled them with like beach stuff.
Oh, that's so nice.
I really wanted one. And Jared said that he was going to get me. So the store is right across from the Pittman Theater. It's right across the street. And Jared said he was going to get me one for Mother's Day, but he asked Judah where it was from. And Judah was like, "It's across the street from the theater where we saw Ada's play," which is true. But we also saw Ada in a play at the Walnut Street Theater.
Oh,
so Jared thought it was in Philly. So he was like, "Oh, never mind." So,
oh, I thought you were telling me he went to Philly.
I got his mom on Mother's Day. I was like, "I really want one." He was like, "I'm surprised you haven't bought yourself one yet." And I was like, it was the day before Mother's Day. I was like, "Did you get me one for Mother's Day?" And he was like, "No." I was like, "Well, then I'm getting myself one." So now I have one and I love it very much. And it was a gift from self to self.
Well, did you put like a mini version of that bag in that bag like Lisa Rinna did?
I wish, if only I'd thought of it. Luckily, I got the small one, so maybe one day I'll get the big one, and then I can
have that moment.
Do that.
Mm-hmm. A little, another gift from self to self.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
And the ladies are very good about clocking all of their new bags and clothes and stuff like that. It was funny. There was one time last season where someone was like, oh, those remind me of like the yellow Gucci pants that Kyle wore. And Erica wasn't there. So she's like, yellow Gucci pants. Like, I don't remember those. Like, so they very much pay attention to what everybody wears.
Yeah. Well, they seem not to have much else going on. I have notes on that later.
Okay. actually, they really don't get into the business side of anybody actually in this episode. So you wouldn't know if anybody really had a business. Mm. So, well, besides Lisa Renner, her Renner Beauty.
Yes, she did talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, and so Lisa's also wearing sunglasses inside for the first time in this episode of at least two or three times.
Lisa's funny. I like her.
Lisa is, she is very much like a gregarious, like, it's like one of those where it's like people want to love her so much, but she'll sometimes do things that will make you be like, oh, Lisa, and like drive you crazy. She's a necessary evil, as I like to say.
We saw someone with their kids. It might have been Dorit, actually. And then she was talking about, like, how much broccoli are we going to eat? How about
that's Crystal. Yeah,
Crystal. I, like, laughed. I was like, oh, they're just like us.
Well, I, first
exactly
of all,
what I do with that
I
one.
Did not like that rule when I was a kid. The, like, eat as many as your age.
No, I'm sure you didn't, but you need to eat vegetables.
Crystal, her husband is Rob Minkoff, and he directed the original Lion King.
Hmm.
They're animated. You know, mm-hmm. not like Broadway.
Oh, I know. Julie Taymor directed it on Broadway. That's neat. That's a fun flex.
It's a fun little flex. He's done other like Disney stuff too. Yeah. And her thing is that she hosts parties all the time at her house. Apparently she's like, she's not a party planner. She just likes to like let people throw parties at her house. And she's like, I always have a party going at my house. I was like, that sounds horrible. Like always having people setting up for parties. And then like people in your, cause she always had them in like her backyard and stuff, but it's like, that sounds awful. Like always
we were
having
just
someone
talking about this. Cause we're, you know, how I plan. So Addie's birthday is in August. So I'm planning her birthday party and we were going to do it at Painting with a Twist, but Amanda, you know, is an art teacher. And she was like, you don't have to pay $500 for that party. I will teach them how to paint a unicorn. And we're going to do it in their like neighborhood has like a community center and you can rent it for like $50. So we're going to do it in there.
Oh, perfect.
And Jared was like, well, then why don't we just do it here? And then we can combine it with the family party and whatever. And I was like, no, I am not having a barbecue with all of our families and people swimming and all the stuff. And then also trying to do the paint thing. Like it's going to be chaos. I'm absolutely not doing that. I don't want all of her friends and their parents here for a barbecue. Like I like a lot of their parents, but like, you know, I don't know all of them. Like I don't want all those people. Like,
yeah.
I just don't. We'll have a separate like family barbecue. It's fine.
So we cut to Garcelle and Sutton are in Miami getting massages. This is very
much. Garcelle's like, I like it deep and hard, which I did not like because it reminded me of when I was a Hooters girl and people would order, men would order their wings and be like, I like it hot, wet, naked. Like,
ew.
Just order your chicken, dude. Can we not?
Ew.
Because, you know, wet wings are like extra sauce and naked is no breading.
Right.
But they'd be like, and you know, hot sauce. They'd be like, I want them hot, wet. You know, I was like 20.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. Aww. Anyway, that's what it reminded me of. Like, just let this man give you a massage, please.
Garcelle is single, okay? If you haven't noticed.
Well, that's not a problem.
So this is a very typical, like, beginning of the season episode. It's like what all the ladies are up to, what they've been seeing each other, if they haven't been seeing each other. Like, so basically kind of like letting you know who's friends and who's not.
Oh, I just said Sutton and Garcelle, one of them was talking about how they trust each other. And I was like, ooh, I bet not for long. That was some foreshadowing.
I hope not. They do that a lot too. Like, we're the best friends. I love you. Like, we always have each other's back. There usually is like that scene because there's always like some sort of shift in dynamic.
Erica tells us that she's enjoying really good sex with nice people and maybe some not so nice people. Get it, girl?
Oh, yes, yes. We then cut to Kyle. I think Kyle was the first one with like a real scene, and it's her and she is training with Portia, her daughter, who's now 13, I guess, at least, because she just had her bat mitzvah.
At least because she's a bat mitzvah. Mm-hmm.
She was like a little
this
top.
This is why I never wanted to watch the show. I was watching it thinking like, now I don't want to go to the gym. Now I just want to have like a beautiful, fancy backyard where my trainer comes.
Well, you do have a big, beautiful backyard, so you could do that.
I don't have a trainer who trains me in it.
You can make Jared be your
and
trainer.
It's not as beautiful as Kyle's.
No, but you can get there. Believe me, Kyle actually, her and her husband have made a lot of money, so much more since they joined the show, because he is a real estate agent, and he started his own agency, which is called The Agency. And it's kind of like a running joke, because a lot of times he'll always be wearing like a hat. This is The Agency. So it's just like one of those, just like, oh, Mauricio, your hats. But that was where some of the drama came from with Kathy and Kyle, because Kathy's husband, Rick Hilton, has his own agency that Mauricio was a part of. And Mauricio left it to start his own. And so that caused a little bit of bad blood.
I bet it would.
Yeah, because I'm going to assume people and clients went with Mauricio. So that's what I would imagine. Sure. Yeah. So Kyle keeps telling Portia, like, hit someone you really hate. So hit someone you really hate. It's like, geez, Kyle. I just figure, like, Kyle's probably pretending she's hitting Carlton, who's like a previous cast member. Then we go to the Miami W Hotel. Scent Garcelle are having the most decadent looking pink pastries.
Telling us about how much they trust each other.
Yes. And so Sutton came to Miami to support Garcelle for her Angels for Humanity event. Garcelle is from Haiti, so that's why she was doing an event that supports children in Haiti. And they were talking about how they're both single, how they're both best friends. And we remember that Sutton's boyfriend broke up with her Valentine's Day weekend. And they don't mention it, but there's more to that and how he was.
Well, kind of Sutton, like, seems like a fucking nightmare. So good for him.
So it's just, it's like, wait a day. Like, you got to do it on Valentine's Day or like on the weekend. And they were like away. So they were like somewhere else. It's not like you could go home.
Oh, that sucks.
Garcelle says to Sutton, let's get some men or a man we can tag team.
Yeah.
And that's why I said Garcelle and Sutton have this cute friendship where Sutton is like very proper, but Garcelle's very outspoken and likes to say things to shock Sutton. And Sutton still laughs. It's cute. What I want to know is, what was that little tube that Eric Jane was putting in her tea, because it looked really cute.
I think it was honey. Like, you see those sometimes in like little like old timey shops. Honestly, this is so dumb. It never occurred to me that that's what it's for. I always pictured kids like just like sucking the honey out of it, like as a treat.
But that seems like the perfect amount of like tea honey.
Because my kids like to like just eat a spoon of honey. So I assumed it was like a treat. But when I saw her do that, I was like, oh,
I know.
First I thought, oh, fancy. And then I thought, no, I see those all the time. I just never thought to do that with it.
I know. Also, I really loved Rinna's confessional look. That's where they're sitting by themselves, Jessica.
I literally in my notes said, wait, are both of these women Lisa?
So Erica Jane really like helped Lisa. Like, Erica Jane does a lot of look. We probably won't see as many like crazy ones this year, but she would always wear different wigs and it really inspired Lisa.
Oh, you think that was a wig? I thought maybe she had like extensions at some point. Yeah.
Oh, no. Lisa talks about her wigs and she names them.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Like, she'll probably be like,
that's so fun. I've always wanted to get into wigs, but I just know I don't have the patience to like do it.
A former cast member, Brandy, made fun of her for having the same haircut for like 20 years. And it wasn't a lie though. And so that's what I mean. Like, she looks so good when she wears like the longer hair or just like changes things up. But yeah, she'll like on Instagram, she'll be like, oh, this is the Raquel. Or like, we call her like Julia.
She's like Moira Rose.
Yeah, kind of. And so Rinna's talking about her beauty line and she's saying that she's like selling it through Instagram, which I did go and she has a store on Instagram. And I was like, that's kind of shady. It seems like weird that it's only on Instagram, but she has a real website too. So I don't know if maybe all of her sales and like her marketing is through Instagram. Cause that's what Kylie did at first. Speaking of lip kits, like Kylie did all of her stuff only through her social media, basically. Because she had so many followers, like, why would she need to pay anyone for publicity, right? You know?
Sure. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. And then Erica mentions that she's had sex. And Lisa's like, oh, great.
Yeah, Lisa's like, are you dating? And she's like, no, but I'm having sex. Which,
and the way Lisa acts, it seems like maybe it's the first time Erica's had sex since Tom. But Erica doesn't say that. So I don't know if that's right.
Oh, it seemed that way because Lisa said something about like, because you never really, and she was like, right, it's been, you know, I've been with Tom for, you know.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe it was. And she says she, as you said, she wants to have good sex with nice people and not so nice people, which I'm like, same.
Sometimes.
And so now we get into probably what Rena's going to be complaining about for the next few episodes, which is when Sutton goes on Watch What Happens Live, which is Andy Cohen's show. And now that you've been DVRing the show, you'll probably sometimes have it like connected to your Real Housewives episode. And he usually has somebody from one of the shows that was on that night and a celebrity guest. Okay. As you've seen with Patti LuPone.
I have.
Yes. So you're aware. You're aware of the format. But usually he has like a lady on from one of the shows that came on. Rena was complaining about Sutton talking about how she didn't get a thank you when she brought Rena and her husband, Harry Hamlin, to an Elton John party.
Explain to me how big of a deal that is.
Well, I don't know if it's so much not like in general a big deal, but the whole thing was that Lisa was like really coming after Garcelle last year, and she was just making problems where there weren't problems. And she was like, Harry made you that sauce and you didn't thank him. And
she saw that.
I did thank
you. It must be so nice to have so little to worry about that you're keeping track of which friends thank you for which favors.
But the Garcelle was like, but I did thank you when you gave it to me. And she goes, I know, but you didn't like... didn't text me later.
It was nice to say. She really enjoyed it. Like, oh my God.
Right. And it's just like, it was just like, you obviously just wouldn't have a problem with Garcelle and you're just trying to like nitpick at things, you know? So she was just, as like Erica said, like Sutton was kind of being performative and being like, oh, I'm very much on Garcelle's side. And like, here is an example of like how Lisa's a hypocrite. And Lisa says that she paid for them, her and Harry, and Sutton just asked her to sit at her table. But Sutton says she paid for the table. So if you're sitting at her table, she paid for you. And allegedly, I found someone on Twitter. Now, I don't know if this is true because it's just like someone said that someone went through their tax documents because the Elton John AIDS Foundation, being a charity, has to like talk about their donors. Okay. And allegedly, Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin do not show up that year, but Sutton does. Allegedly. I don't know. I didn't read these tax documents myself. But. Well,
this was right around the time when I started to not like Sutton because they show a flashback to someone saying to her, like, are you one of those I don't see color people? Please. Yes. Like, and she's crying, but I don't see color.
Yeah, that was not one of her best moments last year. That happened early on in the season. So everybody kind of forgot about that one.
That was when I was like, don't think I like her.
Yeah, no, that wasn't a great moment of Sutton's, you know. Hopefully she's learned from that. Mm-hmm. Oh, but what Lisa did when this happened originally back in like October, September, this all happened, she then went crazy and started posting pictures from like every single year she ever went to like the AIDS Fest. It's like, Brianna, doff protest too much now. It's like, if you had said nothing or just like said one little thing, it would have been more believable. But if you have to make a big thing about how we always go, we're always invited by Elton. She's like tagging Elton John. I'm like, Elton John doesn't care. He does not care. And this is a very classic Real Housewives setup. It's two sides of the story being told at the same time. Because we had like the back and forth. Then we go to Sutton is meeting Crystal at her house, which we didn't get to see a lot of Crystal this episode. I think this is really the only time we got to see her have a scene. And then she had like a small scene with Lisa Rinna too, I guess. Mm-hmm. Crystal's around our age, by the way. She's like the only one that's like close in age to us.
Good for her.
Yeah. Dorit is 45 and then the rest of the ladies are in their 50s.
Okay.
Not that it matters, but you know, I'm just saying. And they start talking about the Lisa Rinna thing. And Sutton's like, what's wrong with me? Like, I can't help it. And Sutton really can't help herself sometimes. That's her problem. She doesn't know when she needs to like just stop. And Crystal describes Sutton as cheeky. And I'm not sure if that's the best word for Sutton.
Yeah, I don't know if she really knows what cheeky means.
Yeah. But Sutton says that her being cheeky, quote unquote, is her way of jabbing someone. But I said, I think that's being Southern. I think where she seems polite or like kind of cute, but then she's really like giving you a slam from the side. I think that's like just a Southern thing. And Sutton says her requirements for a man are very similar to mine, are handsome, tall, educated, and likes cats. Which Crystal goes, I don't know if there's a lot of men out there who say I'm a cat guy. But my ex-boyfriend was a cat guy and my sister's current boyfriend is a cat guy.
Well, they're out there. My husband's a cat guy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, I feel like he's just an animal guy.
No, he doesn't like most of our pets.
Really? He prefers the cats?
He doesn't want any of them. He always says, like, when these pets eventually die, like, we're not getting any others. I'm always like, well, we're getting a lot at once, so wrap your head around it. But
it's a lot at once. You guys do have a lot of cats. I mean, these two.
He was the one who wanted the chickens.
Yeah. Well, the chickens do
keep. They give back.
Yeah, they give back. They earn their keep.
These other freeloaders. So then, like, apparently they like tell us about how there was some drama between Sutton and Erica, and like Erica saying she was going to come for Sutton.
Yes, that's
and
when
Sutton hired security. That was strike two, girl.
No, that was ridiculous. When Sutton said she had, so what happened was, so Garcelle meets up with Erica Jane, which Sutton is not happy that Garcelle is meeting up with Erica Jane, but it's a TV show and this is their job. They have to come and talk to each other and hang out. That's like the best when, like, last season, oh, not last season, but this was really funny, Jessica. So on Salt Lake City, one of this woman was like, I will not come to anything this person's invited to. Do not invite me if you're inviting her. And everyone just kept inviting her anyway. She's like, I told you, don't invite me. And it's like, babe, we're on a show. we got to film together. Mm-hmm. You can't say you can't
film. Gotta come to work.
Yeah, you got to come to work, babe. And that comes up in these shows too. If they think someone isn't like showing their lives or are like lying about it, the rest of them get mad because they're like, yo, we show our stuff. Like, you need to show stuff too. Like, it's fun when it comes out. Kind of like the fourth wall gets broken a little bit.
Yeah.
This is when all the things had been coming out about Erica and about the money and where did this money go? Because the whole thing was like when the lawsuit happened and Tom was deposed, he was basically like, I don't got it. He's like, right. I don't have anything. Like,
and Erica's saying she knows like nothing about it.
Right. And so one of the things they said in this article that had come out was that they believe that like $20 million of it went into Erica's like EJ Global, which is like her company or whatever. And then she's like, well, he set that up for me, but like, I didn't see any of this money. This wasn't like what you guys think it was. But here's the thing. No matter if this $20 million did or didn't go into her account, no matter about all that stuff with the EJ Global $20 million of it all, your husband was flat broke and taking money that didn't belong to him and belonged to victims and was funding both your lifestyles.
Uh-huh.
So at some point, he ran out of money and he was like robbing Peter to pay Paul. Like, he was putting up his house against multiple banks. Like, it was one of those things when people went to collect, it's like, oh no, he already has this against this bank. So like, he was saying, like, getting loans, putting up properties that he technically didn't even own anymore or have like the collateral to really back up. I mean,
it's possible that she didn't know though.
Well, that's very, very true. But the problem is that her reaction has been very callous because she doesn't necessarily show that she feels bad that he has stolen money to fund their lifestyle.
Right.
And so she doesn't, so she's made it very difficult when people want to like take assets back from her. She's been very like fighting about it. And she,
I liked when Bravo tried to ask her about it, and about like what the proof was or whatever that she wasn't involved. And she goes, Bravo can do their due diligence.
Yeah. You can look that up yourself. My lawyers put all the information out there and you guys can read it because our Garcelle says, oh, okay. So it's all been dismissed. And she's like, no.
Yeah. No, she's not even justifying that with a response. I love that.
Right. It's like, but okay, you're saying it was disproven, but it's not been dismissed. And then how everyone's lying and Garcelle says, oh, okay. So you're going to sue them. And she goes, well, down the road.
Right.
So it's kind of like, now, like I said, I don't believe Erica like was behind it all and all this stuff, but babe, if you have stuff that didn't belong to you, technically, like it's assets that, you know, were gotten with ill-gotten funds, whether it was you or your husband, you got to give it back. Like, you know, if you have all this jewelry that like you got in the last 5 years, because it seems like this has been going on for like, say, the last 10 years. I don't know the exact thing, so don't like hold me to it. Anything recently, you could bait to say that maybe this was not something he really could afford, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is not so much like, oh, they think Erica did it and was behind it. It's also part of like her attitude about it and how she doesn't really show that she cares that all these people didn't get their money. I think that's what bothers people the most.
I don't know. I like her.
Okay.
Yeah. My favorite, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's lots. I mean, there's some good things about her, and but that's what she hasn't been whole. She hasn't been reading the room very well on this situation. Let's put it that way. And Erican can be relatable because she says she has to get back in shape because she has drunk munchies. Mm. She says, you don't remember ordering that Taco Bell drunk, but when you wake up and the wrappers are around you, it's like, that's pretty relatable. How many times have you woken up being like, oh, I didn't like do anything, like drink anything, or, I mean, eat anything bad last night. And then as like the day goes on, you're like, oh no, oh no, we did. And that was funny when Garcelle asked Erica, she's like, are you going to apologize? It's like, for what? For threatening her. And then Erica and her best lawyer, tell me the words I used. Flashback. I love it. You call me a liar again and I'm coming for you. Like, yes, Erica, that's like obviously.
I feel like when a woman like Erica says, I'm coming for you, clearly she means she's gonna like spread a rumor about her. You don't need personal security.
It's just funny because it's like, what words did I use? I'm coming for you. Like, that's pretty threatening. And yes, it was ridiculous that like Sutton felt like her physical harm was gonna come to her, but it was very clear that Erica kind of meant like, in this show, I'll be coming from you for you from now on, which she kind of does for the rest of the season. But all Sutton, the problem is, though, and what you haven't seen yet is that, and Garcelle brings it up, is that all the other women were saying the same things. And she's not holding all the other women to the fire. It's just because Sutton said them out loud in front of Erica's face. But Kyle, well, Dorit, they all said things. Like one thing Kyle would do, you should be like, this story is unbelievable. What Erica's saying is unbelievable. Do I believe her? Of course, but it's unbelievable. It's like, so they would do that shit where they play both sides being like, oh, yeah. Well, I'm still her friend, even though, but what is going on? Like, you know, they basically very much playing both sides, which Kyle is the queen of. And that specific dinner where she gets threatened, Sun specifically said she didn't want to bring it up and wasn't going to talk about it. And Kyle's like, well, Sutton, you should really just talk about like what you said to me the other day at dinner. It's like,
I have another question. Do they all like basically know each other because of the show, or do they have like prior relationships?
Most of them, I think probably more like socially now at this moment. I don't think anybody besides being on the show have prior relationships.
Because I have multiple friends that I've had for over 30 years that I've never had drama like this with.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Lisa and Garcelle know each other from like being actresses. I think like probably Lisa knew the most people just from like kind of, but more like socialite and being around. And that's what Lisa does. She loves to bring on a friend and then completely fight with them and destroy them. Most of the people that she brings on doesn't stay. Multiple people have left. I think Garcelle's the strong one. Garcelle doesn't take shit from anybody. I love Garcelle. Garcelle's one of my favorites. I think she's queen. And Erica says, I'm coming for you. That can mean anything. It's so funny. That's like the way these ladies talk to each other.
She's just like unbothered. I love it.
Yeah. And so when the bankruptcy trustee said, Erica Jane never touched the Lion Air money, and Garcelle with no reactions like, oh, okay. Like, she does not believe her one bit. Because as Garcelle says, why isn't it being reported? Like, how come nobody's talking about this? And like, why aren't we seeing the proof that she's being cleared of all these things? And right. I think Erica's just playing semantics with the money. But the fact is, she did benefit from Tom stealing the money. It's just facts. Like, he funded his lifestyle from this money. So. And so Garcelle, like I said, points out that all the ladies talked about it, but Erica says that Sutton led the charge. But there is this rumor that some of the ladies have a pact not to go against each other. So I think this is Erica's way of like not having to go against like the people she doesn't want to go against.
Interesting.
Which is why I think a lot of these ladies should be fired, because I don't think you should have pacts where you don't go against each other. We talked about all stuff.
So then we get to Dorit.
Yeah. And first thing they do is they pan her jewels, which is a little gauche at this point. That's like literally the first thing you see is like they kind of pan her closet and stuff.
Well, we have to know what's, you know, what's at stake here.
I guess so. And her little kids are doing
karate. Her kids were doing a private karate lesson in their backyard, and I thought that was weird. Like, do rich kids not have to socialize? If karate is like a group activity.
Well, if you need to film a scene to show that you're a mom with cute little kids, I guess.
Oh, do you think maybe they don't even really do karate?
Oh, no, I think they do karate. No, they seemed into karate. They seemed they liked it.
It was around here that I realized that her kids were asleep in the house when this robbery took place.
I know.
And that's when I really started to go off the deep end about it.
Because so they filmed at the house that day. And that night, hours later, all this happens. Mm-hmm. And they come into Dorit's bedroom. I think I heard Mauricio say later in the episode that the robbers didn't think they were home. Because remember, they were supposed to be in London and PK mm-hmm. stayed, her husband, mm-hmm. and they all left early. And I think she had said, like, I didn't post on social media. So maybe she had come home like a couple days before and, you know, just, you know, nobody, they just thought she was gone. Yeah. Because actually Kyle had her house broken into, but she wasn't home either. Like they were on vacation.
This is a little later, but when she talked about how her husband's away, she usually has the kids sleep in her bed, but that night she moved them. Holy shit.
That was crazy. I couldn't believe that. Like, she just like thought, like, you know, I'm just gonna move her, like something she never ever does. Because Dorit, as you could tell, loves her children. She like, obviously, like everybody loves her kids, but like Dorit is like especially like, oh,
she's like into being a mom. Yeah,
she's like very much so. And like we've seen these, like literally Phoenix was like not even a year old, I think, when she joined the show. So we've literally seen these little kids grow up so much.
I feel like no matter what Dorit does for the rest of the season, I will forgive her because she has been so severely traumatized.
Oh my God, like, she's had PTSD for sure.
I can't imagine.
So this is the thing.
They were in the car on their way and they were talking about it. And someone was saying, like, you know, and she said, like, I'll help you. I'll give you anything. Just don't, you know, don't hurt my kids. And Lisa went and she saved them. I just was sobbing.
Yeah. That was heavy. Yeah. Because she said, like Dorit says, like, I got really calm. Cause like she said, like, it's like when you're someone you love, their life is on the line. It's like amazing what your body and mind can do. Like you get into that mode to survive.
Oh my gosh. It made me sick to my stomach. It was so upsetting.
Well, I'm sure you love the next scene where we see Kyle.
And then here's fucking Sutton. telling us about how she's been putting fires out all day too.
Everyone is going crazy on this for Twitter. Like you either love it or hate it. You either think it's like the funniest thing because it's like Kyle's crying and just Sutton comes in. She's like, oh, you're crying. Well, I've had my allergies. So I look like I'm crying, but I'm not really crying.
It wasn't held at gunpoint. Sorry.
Yeah. And that's
because Kyle's
like trying to talk about it. Kyle's ready to have her scene, my crying about my poor friend scene. She is so ready for this, and Sutton is not ready to meet her or where she's at emotionally. They're actors on a different page. Kyle's like, so where are the fires you're trying to put out? And she goes, oh, well, immigration. I have this French designer that's trying to
come. My designer is French and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And she goes, that doesn't seem like a fire. Well, it is for me and my business. It's all relative.
What a punch in her stupid face.
And she's like, it's been a weird day. It's been a weird morning. It's like, son, like, I was like, do you have Asperger's or something? Like, it's like, we really wonder if she's like on the spectrum, because how do you not connect? But, like, your friend almost died and like maybe her kids could have died.
Oh my God. Can the title of this episode be Is Sutton on the Spectrum?
Oh no, that might sound weird. I don't think I could say that. But she's acting like it didn't really happen. Like it's not, hadn't really sunk into like that this happened, you know? And I guess, I mean, it is a weird
thing. Seem to understand the gravity of it.
It's crazy. I don't know. Then we see it's like Lisa Rinna and
Crystal. Or do you think she's the type, like, do you think she was like jealous that Dorit was getting all this attention from everyone?
No, I don't think that was it. And it just happened that morning and stuff too. I think Sutton's just in her own little white lady world. So they talk about how they go again, how like Sutton's single and talking about like guys she wants to date. And she's like, I don't care if they're rich. And, like, gives Kyle a very pointed look. Specifically pauses.
Unlike Erica, I don't need money in order to make myself feel better.
Like, Sutton is really good for Erica this year. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, now Erica really was, it's hard to put into context since you didn't see it, but I mean, Erica was meaner than she should have been to Sutton and stuff, especially, like I said, since other people were saying the same thing. She kind of took everything out on Sutton, you know, instead of kind of doing it to the people that were doing it to her as well. But God, some of the things she was saying were so mean. I was like, just let Erica like bury herself like and react to it, because everybody loved how Sutton reacted to Erica last year. They called her Fancy Drew because she was always like looking into like what was going on. That's why it was so funny, because it was Sutton reacting to Erica. I was like, I don't want Sutton to go after Erica, but she really pissed her off. You could tell. So Kyle starts to talk to Sutton. Oh, when we look back at the past year, we argue and we say things, and Sutton just cuts her off and goes, no, and shakes her head. No. Kyle's like so taken aback. And she's like, are you going to let me? She goes, I want to hear, but I just disagree already. So go ahead. A lot of people probably want to say that to Kyle. I think I want to hear, I just disagree, but go ahead. And Kyle tries to say she feels bad for not sticking up for Sutton. But like I said, she was the one who put Sutton in that situation, because she called Sutton out and threw her under the bus when she knew Sutton wasn't going to say anything. And it's just classic Kyle playing both sides, because she feels bad for Sutton, but she thinks that Erica went home and cried that night, and Sutton's just not having it. And she does not want to be friends with Erica after this year, and I do not think it's going to be happening. And Kyle has her own issues with Erica, because Kyle, as we saw from a flashback, Dorit, her husband, Mauricio, and Kyle were making fun of Erica and her situation, because there is all these different stories about things that happened. And I mean, you know, saying like, well, if your husband has all these brain problems, why aren't you taking care of it? And like, because basically he broke his ankle at one point in this car accident. So they were saying like, if he shouldn't be driving and something wrong with his brain, like, why are you caring about the ankle? And that's like that whole joke and all of what they're laughing about.
Right.
And so it sounds like Erica has been giving Kyle the cold shoulder, because Kyle's like, well, we've been texting. But as you notice, Erica hasn't filmed with Kyle yet. And so looks like, okay, so then we go to Kyle's house, and Kyle's going to have all the girls together to basically like hang out with Dorit, just like have a little dinner. PK's about to come home.
Oh, I liked PK.
Actually, yeah, PK was one of those, he had a rough first season because he got involved with the lady drama. But once he learned he should back off and not get involved, he became a lot more likable.
So bad for him.
Wait, you don't know what PK does. You don't know one of his jobs.
What is it?
He manages Boy George.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes Boy George stays with them at their house.
Wow.
Usually makes an appearance once a season. Usually get one Boy George appearance. If you're real lucky, he'll sing. Sometimes that happens too.
Oh my gosh. I'll be like waiting for it every week now.
I know. Hopefully maybe he'll come by and they see how Dorit's doing.
Yeah. Come check in on the fam.
They're really cute. They're all very close.
I love that.
I know. I thought you would really enjoy that.
Love that for him.
So when I really liked Erica's outfit, by the way, she had this like denim worker jumpsuit thing, but she had these like light blue sparkly pumps. Those were really cute. And there's a little bit of tension when Erica comes in, but it's really all about Dorit. So, and you could tell that they haven't seen each other for a while. And Mauricio comes in and she's like, Mauricio, you hurt my feelings, which like I said, and as Sun pointed out, she felt like the men got a pass and she was the one that got in trouble for like talking about things. Mauricio's rich. She's not going to be, well, I guess Sutton's rich too, but that's just, I guess the way that
it annoyed me when they were all sitting there and the dog started barking and Dorit like got all nervous and was like, why are they barking? Go check why they're barking. And Kyle was like, it's fine. They're just barking. Girl, get up and check. Just make her feel better. That's what I said too.
Even if there is security outside.
Get up and take a peek.
Mauricio should just like send Mauricio out, have him go take a look. Like, yeah. Like, and obviously, you know, I guess because she knew people were coming in because Garcelle just came in after that. But yeah, like totally. I agree. I was like, God, girl,
your friend
is freaked out. And that's what Dorit kind of like retells the story to Rinna, Garcelle, Erica. And it's just, you also like, to me,
it's horrifying.
see when we see Dorit, it reminded me of Sex and the City, where Carrie gets left at the altar with Big, and we see her like all like destroyed.
Because do you remember the audible gasp in the movie theater?
And we never see Dorit like this.
Up in the mirror.
Yeah, we never see a glam down Dorit ever. So that's what I was like.
You know what's funny? I was looking at her thinking she is really pretty.
Oh yeah, she is.
Like without like all the stuff, she's very pretty.
Yeah, that's.
You know, TikTok tells me that French tip nails are chuggy.
Yeah.
But I noticed that a lot of the ladies have French tip nails.
Well, I think like it's like a French tip with like a different type of design. Like I see a lot now with colors and stuff. I think they mean like the classic French tip. I think it's like when they're shaped differently.
Nails filled tomorrow. I was thinking about getting like not French, but like a tip in like, you know, like a bright spring color instead of the white tip.
That'd be cute. You should do that.
Yeah.
I like that. First of all, Rena also arrives next in all black and wearing sunglasses inside at night again. And I like that they were all annoyed with their paparazzi photos. They're like, oh, we look terrible. It's like, you know,
we all have double chins.
Yes. These are the moments where they're not relatable. Dorit looks so emotionally drained. Like she looks just broken.
Yeah.
Like it's just like you could tell. It's like so hard to watch. I actually felt like some of the stuff, I was like, I don't feel like okay watching.
Do they
this.
Move? I wouldn't be surprised if they move. Like, I don't know if I could continue to live in that house.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, it's like I felt like I was watching something that I shouldn't have been watching. Like something
when she was sitting out on the bench, like sobbing.
Yeah. And even like when PK first sees her the first time he comes home, I was like, I don't feel like I should be watching this. Like, yeah. I feel like they should have a private moment, just the two of them. You know, and like some people were actually like daring to say, like, is this real? Would you really be doing this the next day? And I'm just like, I think it's one of those situations you don't know what you do until like you're in it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's people like, oh, I can't believe she would leave her kids the next, like, you know, that
it's I thought that for a second, but then I thought, no, she needs like some breathing room.
And that's what I mean. Like, I think she needs a second to like break down and cry.
Yeah.
Like,
especially because didn't she say the kids didn't even know what happened?
Yeah. She said they never woke up.
Yeah.
Thank yeah, God. So and they still didn't know that what happened that day. So that's what I mean. She was probably keeping it together that whole day and just needed to like leave for like an hour. I bet she was only there for like an hour too.
She was held like gunpoint.
Exactly. That's what I mean. And like it's
Jesus Christ.
And there was never anything about like this ever being like a thing. Because people were trying to say, because like every once in a while you hear a story about PK, like he once filed for bankruptcy. He once owed a casino a lot of money. To his credit, he did pay it back. So people are trying to be like, oh, did PK own so many money? And like, that's why they were coming to like collect on something. And I was like, no, because it happened to Kyle. And like, it just, you know, a lot of places get burglarized. And it's the same thing. Like that makes sense. If they were just in London, like days before, and they think, you know, they're still there and they can go hit up the place. But it's crazy. I also don't understand why PK called Kyle when he got off from the airport, but that's I guess that's like whatever. But I just felt so sad when he was looking for the phone. She's like, just find it, just find it. She's like, I was like, oh my God. It was like, stop filming her, leave her alone.
I know.
But you know, she'll be okay. Hopefully she has fun at Harry Hamlin's 70th birthday party
the
next day. Which I want to know is that, because actually I was confused, because remember how I actually thought this was cute, because Lisa said like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have a party. And PK was like, no, don't have, cancel a happy occasion for a sad occasion. Mm-hmm. Is that a Jewish thing or is that?
Yes. Simcha.
Yeah, that's what they said. Simcha.
Yeah. Means like happy, I think. Yeah. I mean, that sounds very Jewish.
Yeah. That's I thought that was like a very sweet like sentiment and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it was. I like that.
See, like your tribe's coming through, Jess.
Yep. As we do.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this is an interesting first episode because it's a lot of, like I said, people coming together again, trying to like set the foundation for what's going to be happening the rest of the season. But usually something like this doesn't happen where, you know, a huge life event like traumatized.
That was wild.
Yeah.
So upsetting.
It was quite the first episode to introduce you to. Yeah, it's not the usual format.
I'm down to continue watching.
Well, all you have to do is watch. I'll try to do
I told you for us. We were recording tonight. I was like recording the podcast with Siobhan tonight. He goes, about the show you don't watch. I watched it.
You watch it now, babe. You watch it now. And now you can go listen to Watch What Crappens, my favorite podcast. Although it might be a little much for you. Maybe you need to like know the characters a little bit better because you still don't know.
Right, and I don't want, I'm trying not to like expose myself to many outside influences because I still want to just give you like my fresh opinion.
Oh, that's a good print. Yeah. I think once you actually get into it, I'll let you know when it's time. I'll be like, you're it's time now. But I even did that. Like I didn't want to listen to Crappens before this because I didn't want to like repeat anything or like, you know, make any jokes that they made or anything.
Right.
I did scroll a little bit on Instagram, no, on Twitter, just to see what people were saying, like just to get an idea. And actually a lot of people thought the Sutton scenes were really funny. Like I said, she has a lot of fans, but things change really quickly in a season. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we're outie.